Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody, this is Richard Deitch, and welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. Two guests this week, both have been on the podcast before. Shaliz Manzayoung is a Yahoo Sports NFL writer, one of the best out there. A long, long resume with Shaliz, including the Boston Globe. AJ Perez is a front office sports senior reporter, another excellent reporter here, and again, a very, very long resume. You may have read AJ's work at USA Today prior to front office sports. And we're going to get to a lot of media topics here, and I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. And I am pleased to be joined by Shaliz Manzayoung and AJ Perez. Welcome to the Sports Media Podcast.
Thanks as always, Richard.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've had more elegant intros, but let's get to the stuff right away. Okay, for the listeners who did not hear this previous podcast, I will just give you a heads up. Anna Wolf was on this podcast on September 21st. She is the fine investigative reporter at Mississippi Today, who has really been, along with Ashton Pittman, in front of the sprawling welfare scandal that has ensnared Mississippi. It's the state's largest ever public corruption. I would say listen to that episode if you want sort of a primer on what this welfare scandal is about. And she also explains the involvement of Brett Favre and where he stands in all this, for the sake of putting the other side out there. Brett Favre's attorney has said his client has no idea where the money, that he grabbed for his pet projects were earmarked for the impoverished. Favre has not been charged criminally. There is a civil case, and we'll get to Shaliz and AJ here on perhaps whether they believe or do not believe Mr. Favre. I want to start with you, Shaliz. Let's just sort of go wide here. How do you view this story? Because on the one hand, you know, it's a story about something really horrific, a welfare scandal, the poorest people not getting money that should be allocated to them. But it has taken on, I think, a much larger place nationally, and sort of understandably so, because one of the people involved here is one of the most famous quarterbacks in National Football League history.
It's interesting. I first got wind of this story over 2 years ago when Anna wrote something about Brett received $1.1 million to make quote unquote appearances for the family's first nonprofit that is tied to Nancy New. I'm glad that you had Anna on. And as you said, if your listeners go back, there's a lot of names connected to this, but Nancy New ran this program, gave Brett Favre $1.1 million to make quote unquote appearances. And even back then, I did not understand, why are we giving this man $1.1 million to make personal appearances? As if, you know, you're a poor child in Mississippi and you go to, I don't know, let's say a food bank or something like that, and you get a selfie with Brett Favre. That does not put food in your refrigerator, right? That doesn't do anything for the fact when you walked in, you're in poverty. When you come out, you're still in poverty. Nothing has helped you in that exchange except to give Brett Favre $1.1 million. With Anna's reporting and more reporting that's been done, we see that really, we're getting close to $8 million that Brett Favre swindled out of this TANF money, federal money, because it's the $1.1 personally that he got, the $5 million for the volleyball stadium, and a thing that hasn't gotten much attention. He also got $2 million to invest in this biomed startup that claimed it had like a cure for concussions.
Oh, yeah. I covered that one when it first happened. I wanted to talk to Favre after he tanked on his ESPN analysis, basically interview/tryout. And I wanted to talk to Favre about it. And I was actually kind of part of it was like, hey, he's got this. I'm like, all right, Nasonex to treat concussions, basically. I'm like, all right. So you got that. And it goes, that's $8 million of the $77 million of misspent funds. And this is the temporary assistance for needy families, federal money that goes to the poorest people and we're talking about the poorest state in America. And it's just unbelievable. And I didn't know at the time. And it's actually, I've done some more reporting on that startup. And you know, I'm still reporting this out, but I know one of my sources told me that, you know, Favre told those people at the company that this company was called Prevacus. Their IP, they kind of went bankrupt, and their IP was acquired by this Odyssey company, which I wrote about last week. But Favre told these executives at the startup that these were coming from a child welfare funding, healthcare has welfare funding, not child. That meant that they took that to mean that it came from, you know, some child health account. Like, I guess kids get concussions. Maybe that's how they talk themselves into it on the startup side. But even then, and that hasn't come out much yet about how much Favre was telling others about the funding for that startup that you mentioned.
Here, it's not just the poorest state in the country. It's also the blackest state in the country in terms of the percentage of residents of Mississippi who are black. So, you know, the United States being the United States, that's probably why a lot of people don't really care. But those TANF funds, only 1% of the people who applied for that money actually ended up getting money. And now you see in the text messages that he's asking, I think it was Phil Bryant, the former governor, or somebody, like, well, can't we have prisoners make these lockers for the volleyball facility?
And asking for another $1.5 million for an indoor football facility. Mm-hmm. And I reported on these text messages, and I don't know how much it cost for an Office Sports to obtain them all, but it was to lure in Deion Sanders' quarterback prospect son, who is now playing with him at Jackson State. And Jackson, with the water crisis, this is all coming. The prosecutor that's leading the charge locally is in the next county over, in Hinds County. So we're talking about just basically the same part of the state that has had generational neglect and neglect towards the water system. And it's just, this is all so bad.
It's all, and that's the thing. It's just like gross doesn't even begin to encompass it. And, you know, if you listen to Anna, that money was basically just used as a slush fund for the influential people in Mississippi, and the poor people were just forgotten. And, you know, $5 million for the volleyball stadium, would it have fixed the pipes in Jackson? No, but $5 million over 5,000 families could have made a massive difference for some of these people. You know, the cost of living is not that high. And as we've seen through the pandemic, if you give families $300 a month, it makes a massive difference in what they're able to do in terms of working and childcare and just basic things like feeding their families and having lights on in the house. It's just, it's awful. And then as, you know, what my family looks like, and it's enraging. It's just so enraging, and so far to this point, he's skated.
I want to stay with you, Shalice. I just will note, just so that people know, Ashton Pittman is from the Mississippi Free Press. So I want to make sure that he gets a sort of a shout out and some notice there, because he's done really fine work in addition to Anna Wolf, who I'm really happy to see has been doing so many interviews with national outlets. And I know probably for her, I mean, actually, we talked about this on the podcast. It's not the easiest thing to sort of put yourself out there because, you know, you don't really want to, quote unquote, be coming off as sort of a someone who's sort of going for publicity. But if she doesn't talk about it, then it's not getting national attention. So I'm glad she is. Shalise, one of the things that you have noted, and I think you noted in your piece, which I think is accurate, is the story has been written about and the story is being talked about. It's not, there's not a sort of a cover up here of silence when it comes to Brett Favre. But the next step here, which I really appreciated you noted, are the companies that are involved with Favre. Both AJ and I contacted Sirius. They got back to us. I mean, I should only speak for me. They got back to me more than a week after I emailed multiple people. I mean, just 12, radio silence.
12 days.
Yeah, and again, Sirius has been a great company when it comes to PR. They're responsive. Yes. They get back to you. So, I mean, like, it was beyond obvious, like, what was going on. And, yeah, I mean, I want to be fair, but, like, come on, guys. I mean, like,
it's Brett Favre. He hasn't played in 12 years.
It's all out there for you. It should not have been hard a little bit earlier to quote unquote put him on pause. AJ, of course, did his reporting when it came to ESPN Milwaukee, who have put Favre's appearances on pause. So, Shalise, I'll get back to you. And you wrote this. And you said, now it's time to wonder why companies that use him as a pitchman are sticking by him despite the headlines. Some still are. Many have sort of, quote unquote, gone on pause. But I feel like it's not about the lack of coverage. It's now about who are the people who sort of continue to enable this guy, right? 20 years later.
No, I think it is. Because I had just been seeing that so much on Twitter. And I understand, like, the people who would say, well, if a black quarterback had done this, or even a retired black player had been at the center of this, the uproar and all those kinds of things, and comparing how Colin Kaepernick was treated and Michael Vick. And I completely understand all of that, but we are at a point now where we have to move beyond that, because this is getting attention. If you go on CNN, MSNBC, NBC News, if you go on all of their websites and just put Favre in the search window, you will find numerous, you know, and that's in addition to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Yahoo, obviously. I mean, we're not a small outlet, so people are covering this. So now it's a question of, you know, Copperfit. You can say, okay, Copperfit's an infomercial staple, and it is, and how many people really take them seriously. They doubled down.
Yes.
And gave a statement, I think, to AJ.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
He's.
I was like, no, this was like, and I've done this before with PR people. I'm like, you sure you want to say this? Like, I'll take it and publish it.
He's an honorable guy.
But I'm like, all right, this is not going to. And I actually said, this probably won't be good for you. That's what I emailed back. And yeah, it was, and that was the only one. And Copperfit has faced other boycotts, and there's a boycott maybe on this thing. I'm sure a lot of people, from my comments, there is, but you can never tell if Twitter's real. But there, I also never buy a Copperfit product. I'm a personal trainer, and that copper is not going to do anything for you. I can pretty much attest to that. The other boycott that Copperfit has faced over the years is being associated with Fox News, and especially Fox's primetime programming.
Right. And that's like the funny thing is the other, not funny, I mean, one of the other companies that hasn't officially cut ties is an app for Catholics. For praying and meditating.
Yeah, I actually subscribe to that. And it's like, and I grew up Catholic. I can't say that I'm a practicing Catholic now, but I got married in the Catholic Church. So there's that. But yeah, and it was like, they have a deal with Notre Dame. And I went on Crunchbase. I got the two top executive cells and emails, and I've texted them, emailed them, tagged them. I don't like tagging companies. I don't want to become considered an activist journalist, but I was at a certain point, I'm tagging them. I had started tagging Sirius. I started tagging, you know, when I was on hold for 45 minutes with ESPN Milwaukee. And I started tagging, and it's like, it's nothing. This company I posted a couple of those because since I did a one or two week trial on that app, I posted some of the stuff that Favre's on there, and he's still on there. And it's amazing to me that companies like that, who are looking probably to go public or be acquired, still associate themselves with someone like this. It's and part of it, I think, is I think it's Favre's people, his the people around him, and even his attorney, who I think is misguided and is doing him a disservice. And I think Favre should probably get a better lawyer. They apparently can talk these companies into a lot. I'll just leave it there.
But the thing, you know, and I suppose a company can fall back on, and this is, if you do this, it kind of tells us even more about you. No, he has not been legally charged with anything yet. He's not facing charges. And I guess you can fall back on that if you are.
He is a defendant in the lawsuit, but
he's in a lawsuit. Yes.
With many others. And there's, the legal experts I talk to expect him to be, you know, indicted. And there's a series of things he could be looking at, from possibly lying to the FBI agents who his lawyer was celebrating. They only asked him one question and left. They asked him if he'd been to a certain city in Mississippi. And he said, when I was 9 years old. I'm like, and then they walked away. I mean, any lawyer who's dealt with federal law enforcement knows they only ask questions that they know the answers to. So now he's looking at if for some reason the city is involved in his involvement, and he lied about it. That's one felony. You got wire fraud. You got these other charges that obviously the former head of the welfare agency got charged with late last week.
It's the whole thing. It's really massive and sprawling. I also heard Anna on another podcast she did recently, and how many people are involved in all of this, but obviously Favre is a sexy name, and I think there's a wrestler. Is it Ted DiBiase?
Yeah, Ted DiBiase and
Junior.
Yeah, Ted DiBiase Junior. Yeah,
it's just terrible, you know. And we saw something similar to this with the PPP money, right? And the Los Angeles Lakers and Tom Brady's fitness stretching, physical therapy company got PPP money and all those kinds of things. And those don't have to be paid back. And it's another reminder that there are different rules for different people in this country. And if you have money, the rules don't apply to you. And if you are literally pinching pennies, well, just screw you, you know?
I want to ask you this, AJ, and just to one more sort of point on the media end. Things have sort of turned for Favre when inside the NFL has Anna Wolf on to talk about the Mississippi welfare story. And you might kind of laugh at that, but it's really not a laughing matter. When the establishment NFL press, let's sort of call it that way. I'm not talking about independent people who cover the NFL, but inside the NFL is a show that essentially in many ways just promotes the NFL in the same way pregame shows do. So once you've gotten to that level, when they're bringing on the investigative reporter for Mississippi Today, you know things have changed. AJ, one of the things that that I've written about many, many times, and I'm a realist here, as well as a cynic, like, I really wish that during game broadcasts, occasionally the broadcasters would have substantive conversations about things that really could be impactful on a broadcast, whether it's owners like Dan Snyder, or the Haslams, whether it's certain language used when it comes to Deshaun Watson, and not just sort of use these like generic stuff, but like talk about why Deshaun Watson was actually suspended, and like don't just use controversial, but say like why is it controversial. But I'm also a realist here. Like, the people who call the games, they're not investigative reporters. They ultimately, the networks are partners with the league, and there are many people, millions of people, and I think they're being honest here when they say, like, we believe this should not be, like, the game is the game, and we don't want to hear about this stuff during the game. We just want to watch the game, and, you know, we'll read Front Office Sports or Yahoo Sports when it comes to this other stuff. How do you feel, like, I wish that would be different, and I wish that broadcasters, especially on games where you have the massive reach, would talk about these things, but I'm a realist. I just don't think it will ever happen. And the notion or idea that, like, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman would spend 5 minutes on Brett Favre is just not reality. Like, I wish it was, but it's not. So I'm not really asking you a question. I just sort of want to use it as a thought exercise for you and Shalice that we're never going to see this, correct? If we're being
realistic, we had,
these conversations just won't happen.
We kind of had it with Costas, but ever since Costas left NBC Sports, that was the last person who talked about this. And now they're skating around Deshaun, they're skating around all this stuff. Now, this is part of the issue is, I think this hasn't, there's three, I think, major factors why this hadn't been a story, even though it's been going on for 2 years, over 2 years. It's one, it's race. I think you can see race has something to do with it. Second of all, this is more complex than dogfighting with Mike Vick, and Mike Vick was a current player as well. And that goes into the last part of it. So Farber's been retired for 12 years. He's no longer in Wrangler commercials. He hasn't been in a while. He's not as kind of in the front of people's focus, but he still has this image, this heroic image that is. Should have never gotten to this far. What he did to Jan Sturger and what he did to the massage therapist, how he's still a pitch man, especially for the Catholic app. Hey, it's Hollow, Hallow. Imagine that. I don't report on issues of morality. That's not, unless it rises to a criminal level or a lawsuit, which I've covered many of those things. But it's like, it's, how far I've got here, it should not be shocking to people.
How do you see it, Shalice?
Well, I think AJ made a great point in the long history with Brett Favre. Specific to broadcasting, I guess I've sort of given up. I think we have to wonder on some level how much some of these big money, big time broadcasters don't care, or are team Favre or team whatever the situation may be. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody a few days ago, and apparently the Thursday night game on Amazon last week, the sideline reporter is talking about Deshaun Watson and said, oh yeah, he can't use certain massage therapists and is talking, but never said,
never explains
out.
Why. Yes. I remember. Yes.
Nor did Al Michaels, by the way. Yeah. Good point.
Right. No. And if he was missing 11 games because he tore his ACL in April during workouts at the facility, we would all be saying, oh, he tore his ACL. He's missing 11 games. They're expecting him to be back XYZ. He did what he did. And you cannot take that away. It is in the public record. He did this now, and nobody's asking you to opine, Al Michaels or whomever. You don't have to say, well, I've gotten my fair share of happy endings myself. No, you don't need to opine, but you still have to. You're not doing your viewers a service, especially because if you're going through the trouble of getting Amazon Prime and finding it on Amazon Prime, because I know the first night I've had Prime in the first week, I had a hard time getting it to go. But if you're going through all of that trouble, you're enough of an NFL fan that you understand why Jacoby Brissett's out there and not Deshaun Watson. So don't play people for idiots. Again, if you don't want to opine on it, if you don't want to be like me and really hammer, Deshaun Watson and the Haslams and his attorneys and the NFL for all of this, you don't have to. I understand that's where your bread is buttered. Your five generations down the line are set up for life because they've chosen you as one of the lucky white men that gets to talk about the NFL in these broadcast booths. But you're playing your viewers for idiots that you can't just say, here's why he's missing this time. And it should be the same thing with the other big scandals that come up.
I appreciate your eloquence here. I'm just a realist. It's not going to happen. And I wish it would. I do think, though, that it is absolute fair criticism for that Amazon broadcast. For if they're going to play it as a news story, like you said, Shalice, you have to then take the next step and explain, well, here is why, right, he is suspended. And here are the women who have said X. Like I feel like if you're going to go down that, and why can he only use team massage therapists? Like, if you're going to go down that road, I do feel like you owe the viewers a little bit more. But again, having talked to so many of these executives and obviously broadcasters, they will continue to argue. And I think they do have millions of people who will back them on this as fans, that this is not the place for it. But this becomes a
lot. Is that the right thing to do?
I would say, without sort of being a wise ass, that they are not in the business of doing the right thing. They are in the business of making money and keeping you as a viewer watching this entertainment product.
But there's like 8 or 9, maybe like 9 years left in the TV deal. You can piss them off now, and by the time the end of the TV deal, it's
well,
fine.
I mean, again, not to be a cynic, AJ, but like when you have pissed them off as ESPN has, then you get a schedule of Commanders versus Bears every week. You know what I mean? Like, so there are ramifications. Like, obviously, I am in alignment with you two. I'm not even trying to take the opposite side. I'm just sort of, you know, sort of at least giving listeners like the realism of this.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from the people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, I want to move on from Brett Favre, and that this will be a subject that, well, I will say one last thing actually before we do move on. AJ, you've done a lot of excellent reporting on this. You are assigned to this story. Is that fair to say, in addition to the other stuff that you do, or no?
It was kind of our CFO was like, hey, you go check this stuff out. I had done like a rewrite or something at some point, but you know, I was like, all right, I'll dig around. And, you know, I did know somebody who I mentioned before, who was attached to that pharma startup. So I was starting to call, and it was within a couple of days, I had some good sources. And then it was like, hey, there's something coming. It was middle late last week. There's something coming. And I was like, all right, I know what's going to happen. I kind of figured that this former head of the welfare agency was going to be, going to be brought up on charges, or his plea deal would be announced, and he'd be the indictment would be unsealed. I was writing ahead for the next day. Then I went on and checked the court docket. And I'm like, oh man, it's now. So my tweet at like 1 a.m, everybody picked up on it, got almost 6 million impressions. And
wow,
it was just something that, you know, just kind of fell. It was just, I was working ahead of it because I knew it was kind of coming down the pike, but then I went on the state, I had registered with the state docket earlier in the week, and I already had my federal docket. I know Pacer very well. And so does my company, since a lot of fees. So between those two, I was able to craft a story. I was up to 4 a.m. My editor got up, posted it. And that was the first major story. Then on Saturday, ESPN beat me by a little bit, but I got the text messages. And was writing that story up on the way to the Elton John concert. So.
All right. Well, hopefully the Elton John concert was good at least.
It was.
All right. Shalice, I want to go to you. Let's talk about Kim Mulkey's non-comment on Brittany Griner. The criticism there is absolutely warranted. I mean, at a base level, Brittany Griner helped make Kim Mulkey rich. And yeah. Just at a base level, you should, to me, like, just acknowledge that, even if you have an acrimonious relationship with her, which I believe that is the case between the two. I think, to me, you just do the pro forma comment. She didn't get that. Let me just give one piece of context, Shalice, and then I'll let you go. M.A. Volpel, who has covered, obviously, women's college basketball in the WNBA for a long time. From M.A. Volpel's account, this likely won't change opinions, but Kim Mulkey consistently has abstained from talking publicly on the Brittany Griner situation. Mulkey said on a Tiger Rag podcast in June, "While I keep up with it as far as what's in the national media, I don't make public comments about it. I think it's a personal issue. You just want everybody to come home safely, and I pray for Brittany. I want her home safely. I think there's lots of people speaking out on her behalf. Those of us who don't necessarily speak publicly about it certainly are praying for her." So Shalice, like, had she said something like that? There's no story here. But she opted with, like, defiance to sort of publicly state on this one that she's not saying anything. Man, like, she could get away with it because LSU, she's sort of royalty at LSU at this point, but I don't know how you can be a human being and watch that and not sort of be left with a really bad taste in your mouth.
No, see, I had no idea what you just read off about what she had said previously that M.A. Vopel publicized. I saw the quote and was like, okay. And then I saw the video and it was so much worse. The flippant sort of, like you said, defiant way that she was like, and you won't, meaning you won't hear me comment on it. And that happened on Monday. My husband was home because he works at a school and there was no school because of Rosh Hashanah. And I went outside and I was like, can you believe it? And he was like, it's her right not to say anything. And I was like, yeah, but, and he's, you know, he, my husband is my best editor in a lot of ways because I want to fly off the handle at everything. And he brings me down to earth when it's warranted. And
good marriage there.
It's very good. For me, it's just the humanity. And as I tweeted, it's like, she couldn't even grit her teeth and be like, oh, I hope she gets home soon. And it just the optics of it, especially because, and maybe she doesn't care, but just the optics of, if I'm now Tara Vanderveer, or I'm, you know, some of these other opposing coaches,
Nikki Collin, Baylor's coach.
Yeah. I'm pulling that video out and being like, huh, you're a young Black queer woman. This is what she thinks of, you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's, would you want to play for parents as a mother? If my kids were really good basketball players, I would never, I mean, before this, I would not have let them go play for Kim Mulkey, but it just sort of hammers home the idea that I'm not sending you there to play for somebody who, as you said, Brittany Griner gave blood, sweat, and tears for free for Baylor. And in part because of Brittany Griner's work and effort, Kim Mulkey now is one of the two or three highest paid college coaches in the women's game.
Correct.
And you can't even fix your lips to be like, yeah, it's a terrible situation. I hope she comes home soon. Nobody's asking you to talk about the politics. Nobody's asking you to, you know, wade into geopolitical waters.
Correct.
You know, you could still say it's terrible. I hope she comes home soon. And like you said, none of us blink an eyelash and we move on.
So here's AJ again. Like, I am with Shalice in that Kim Mulkey has every right to say something or not say something. I'm not making the argument on that. I guess what I'm surprised at, but maybe I should be surprised, and I've covered Mulkey for many, many years when I was at Sports Illustrated. I actually always enjoyed our conversations. She's intense, but she loves basketball. Yeah, I mean, there are things I don't necessarily agree with her personally on stuff, but like, I as a basketball coach, I give her her propers. The one thing here that just, like, I don't know if it's a question of tone deafness or something else, but like, no matter how you feel about Griner, and if you have issues with Griner, personally, let's even say if you have issues with her sexuality, etc. Like, at a base level, this is an American who's being held hostage in a foreign country. Like, I just don't get how on earth you don't just sort of just acknowledge that as an American, like, first and foremost, to say, like, we absolutely want her to come home. And so that, you know, that was my surprise. And again, it is very stupid in many ways to parse like a three-word answer from somebody, but I don't know. Like, have we just like gotten so far afield where you can't even like publicly state like you want an American hostage to come home?
No, I think that was, I mean, look at McGriner and the other players in the WNBA. They've been talking about equality well before, you know, Floyd and everything else. I mean, they of all the pro athletes, the WNBA players have, you know, pushed the issue of diversity and inclusion more than anybody. And before a lot of leagues, you know, that's why this doesn't make any sense. It's not, you know, if you're a prospect and your end result is, you know, hopefully with the new TV deal, the WNBA will get after 2025, there's going to be some real money. You don't have to go overseas like Griner had to. Why would you go to a coach who just is so flippant and just blows it off? It's just not saying just the minimum is like, I hope she comes home quickly. Just like that. Something like that. That's all
you
need.
Shouldn't be controversial.
I was enraged. I'm like, oh man, especially with the coaches. And it's like, you know, Tara, as he mentioned, was, you know, there's a pretty diverse, you know, when it comes to sexual orientation is pretty, you know, it's not a taboo subject anymore. And it's just not, you know, there's going to be other coaches who are going to be recruiting against us, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially in that sport. I mean, like, it's just, this is not, sometimes you sort of just get surprised, and I get that Mulkey's obstinate, and she has a very much an attitude. No one's going to sort of tell me what to do, but like, just at a base level, like I don't get it. And again, I think Shalise hit the same point that I thought, like, at the end of the day, as great a coach as Kim Mulkey has been, you cannot, there is no argument to be made that Brittany Griner has not made her wealthy beyond her dreams, because that is what a title gets you. And Griner, Odyssey Sims, et cetera, part of one of the great college basketball teams of the last 20 years. Griner revolutionized the game in college, got so much attention for that program because, again, there had been never a player like her before. So I don't know. To me, all that should be worth a sentence, but perhaps I'm quaint here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, two more things I want to get to before we get out of here. Shalise, you're in the greater Massachusetts area. I just invented that as a term. I don't even think that exists. How do you view the media coverage so far of Ime Udoka's suspension?
It's been, when it first happened, I was on the fence about, you know, Woj just sort of throwing it out there like, oh, he's going to be suspended. And then Shams came in behind and was like consensual relationship, and everyone sort of glommed on to that. And then you hear a year. I think the Celtics did not do themselves any favors by once Woj reported it, even if it meant a midnight press release, they should have right behind him been like, yes, we are suspending him for a year. It is for a violation of multiple team policies. We will have a media conference at 10 a.m. tomorrow at the Auerbach Center. And then we get some of it. The other thing that they did wrong is listening to my friend Gary Washburn, who's the stellar NBA/Celtics reporter for the Boston Globe. They apparently haven't even told the players all the details of what this is. So
yeah, that's amazing to me.
Right. If we want to, you know, some of us who are cynical or be like, oh, the players are just covering for their boy Ime. No, they don't really understand the full extent of what was happening. You know, I think it's become a mess. It was terrible as a woman in sports. I've told the story many, many times, but when I was 19 years old and the very first time I was sent out to write a story, I went to Brown University to talk to the athletic director, and he, you know, very curtly answered my questions and then said, well, why aren't you covering women's sports? Why are you writing about football? So these are the things that we deal with, you know, just going to work every day, as we've seen with the Dallas Mavericks a few years ago, with the Washington football team ongoing situation, Robert Sarver most recently. Just being a woman working for a professional sports team is fraught with enough landmines. And then to have Shams and Woj just throw this stuff out there. And then you have people on social media going on Celtics.com and be like, well, here's a woman who works for the team. And here's a woman who works for the team. Ugh. It was horrible, you know, yeah, and awful. The Celtics did do a good job of trying to tamp that down, but they just sort of, once the reporting started, I think they should have just been like, yes, this is what's happening. We will have a press conference at 10 a.m. and to try to shed as much light on this as we can. And the biggest question I still have in all, the whole thing is weird. It sounds like it's really, really sordid. People I know who cover the NBA who are, you know, giving me what little details they've compiled. Like Ime is not a great guy. And in a lot of ways, I almost applaud the Celtics because it sounds like for once a men's professional sports league did the right thing from the outset instead of changing course once they saw the reaction from the public.
AJ, I want to, so here's the thing, and we're all, when I say we, like the larger sports media ecosystem is absolutely guilty of this. When you have a story where like there's so few details and you're in a universe where like so much of this ecosystem, like opinion and takes are monetized, like you inevitably have like a takes culture where people are speculating on stuff with literally like scant details. The only details they had are what the two biggest insiders in the sport have sent out. And so, you know, probably the smartest take here of all is to say like, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's going on in the Celtics organization. I have never reported on the Celtics organization. I have no sourcing in there. So I would say this for this podcast, I have no idea what's going on in the Celtics organization, nor would I take a guess at it. But like, this is one of these stories, AJ, that this is like what strikes me is that there's such incentive, obviously, to have opinion. The wealthiest people in our profession, generally speaking, are opinionists. And this is one of those stories where like you have an opinion, but your opinion is based on the scantest of things, unless you are holding out on what you know because you cover the league. And it creates such a, I don't know, just you're seeing a lot of shit out there because like there's no good place where you can opine from because there's just not a lot of reporting done.
Yeah. And look what one of the talking heads in Stephen A did to Malika Andrews. I mean, while she was talking about this, trying to give her perspective, shutting her down as he did. And this is, this is the problem because we all know, Shalice knows this, the first thing you report sticks within people's minds. And so even when the first report from Woj happened, it was literally everybody to speculate. And then Shams came in, and this is not a story that should be reported out over Twitter when all the details aren't known. This wouldn't have happened 20 years ago without Twitter. You know, 20 years ago, we would have editors asking who the sources are. Hey, why don't you wait until we get more? We don't know what's going on yet. You know, we're way past that at this point. And so even the local reporters were at a loss, I'm sure, because these two, you know, break stories that the locals, the reporters don't often get. We could talk about where they're getting it, but so this is hard. I mean, this is, you know, writing about, you know, saying it was consensual and coming out that it may not be. I mean, this was all handled, you know, this is just modern journalism. And we saw all of its flaws in this one.
Yeah, I will say this. I want to give credit to, like, at least from what I've read, the Boston Globe, The Athletic, and a couple other places where they've really like approached this thoughtfully in that they have not speculated on what happened like within the human resources element of this, but have sort of kept it to here's the player's reaction. Like Shalice said, here's the players didn't know, and here's how it could impact the Celtics organizationally. Like that to me is like, at least at this point, the way to sort of write this, or if you actually know like how the Celtics like went about the investigation, if you actually know that. I'm not sure how many people sort of know that. So
So it just like, you know, I just think there needs to be more thought going into it, you know, because especially when you have their millions of followers, you know, people are going to take and run with it. And we've all had even well-reported stories, people taking and run with the information that they pick and choose out of it. And it's basically blowing something totally out of context.
There was also another layer to this that I think made it blow up even more than it would have because of Nia Long. You know, that we know that there has been or is, or I'm not 100% sure what their actual official status is, but the relationship between Ime and Nia Long, she's beloved, especially among Black people.
Very famous.
Yeah, she's, right. I mean, she's still gorgeous, which, you know, obviously she is a human being beyond just being a beautiful woman, but she's been in some of the most beloved movies, especially for Black people, of the last 20 to 25 years, you know? So I think that also added to the sort of titillating, even more gossip.
Well, this is why TMZ is one of the leading figures in breaking stuff, right?
Right. And that's why it's all so messy. And I know that for better or worse, part of the NBA's brand is being messy. but it's really.
I wish that was NHL's brand. I swear. I mean, more people would watch NHL if they were a little more messy.
Yeah, it might. Well, their messiness is not the type of messiness you want to embrace.
With the hockey culture we've seen up there in Canada.
Right.
and here in the United States.
The one thing that we should mention is that Ime and Nia have an 11-year-old son. And so, you know, if he has a cell phone and he has social media, he's seeing some of this.
I was going to say it sucks.
Yeah, it really sucks. The whole thing is really, I'm sure we'll get bits and pieces. Like I said, talking to friends of mine who are pretty plugged into the NBA, it sounds like there's some really grimy stuff that Ime did. And he basically forced the Celtics' hand, because if it was 100% consensual between two adults, like you can say without hesitation that it was completely consensual, regardless of the marital status or relationship status of Ime and the other person involved. If it was consensual, to me, you just say, hey, look, we told you you're not supposed to do this. 4-week suspension, that's that. But a 1-year suspension and a huge fine, I believe, and it's now kind of come out in dribs and drabs, it's far, far, far more than just a consensual relationship.
And the last one, and I'm going to stick with you, Shalice. Your colleague at the Yahoo Sports, Ben Rohrbach, mm-hmm. he actually wrote a good piece on just how miserable Media Day was, given Robert Sarver, given Ime Udoka, there were so many things around the league that were just like the Charlotte Hornets situation, just like kind of negative and miserable. And it was not a Media Day where people sort of are like celebrating what might happen with the team. I will say, ironically enough, where I live in Toronto, it's all peaches and sunshine. Scotty Barnes and Fred VanVleet's in great shape, so everybody's happy here.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
All right. Lastly, I want to start with you, Shalice, and then we'll finish up with you, AJ. So there is a writer for the Rose Garden Report, Sean Hyken. I want to give him credit for this, who tweeted out, and obviously it's in relation to the story we just talked about, sports reporters, media personalities who have an agent should be required to disclose it when they're reporting on a player or coach rep by the same agency as them. And I thought that was a pretty interesting thing to tweet out, you know, a little higher end here on Twitter than the usual nonsense that we get. And you know, the reality, Shalice, is that I should just, for full transparency, I don't have an agent. I've never had an agent. Obviously, given what I have written over the last 15 years, I know a ton of agents, television agents in the business, including those who represent the Adrian Wojnarowskis and Adam Schefters, et cetera. But Sean Hyken does bring up a really interesting question, as if this should be disclosed. I will say, if everybody did disclose it, you would be stunned as a sports fan just how much of all this intersection exists and how many people are rep by CAA in the media world, who, and then CAA obviously has a sports arm in either basketball or football that rep them. I don't think it's always a quid pro quo, but it does get to be a very how do I phrase
incestuous?
It's a little incestuous underbelly. It's a good word, AJ. Here in that everybody, you know, would be at the same like holiday party. I'm saying that metaphorically. So, Shalice, what did you think about that? Because all of us have been in the business. We all know people who have agents. There are certainly some print reporters or digital reporters who have agents. Everybody in sports television, just generally for the most part, has an agent, with the rare exceptions of John Bruchegras or some others who have negotiated their deals on their own or used lawyers. But it was an interesting one that he posited, because you know what? Woj is a CAA guy, and there are a ton of CAA NBAers, and Adam Schefter's a CAA guy, and there are a ton of NFL CAAers. How do you see this?
I think the tweet was 100% correct. I retweeted it because I think it's right. You know, if the Washington Post has a story that mentions Amazon, they put a parenthetical that says the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, who also owns Amazon. You know, you worked at Sports Illustrated for years when it was like part of the Time Warner family. Then you guys would make that same similar parenthetical. People Correct. Have to know. And I have come to absolutely loathe this insider culture, for lack of a better word. It's not journalism. It's stenography. What they're doing is stenography.
Yeah. It's transactional something, right?
It's not journalism, you know? And so if the most prominent person, like I'm thinking of Stephen A. Smith, that on Friday after the Celtics had their press conference, he's still on TV screaming about, if Ime was a white man, none of this would be happening. Unless you can tell us with 100% certainty, and I don't know this, maybe you do, Richard, if Stephen A. and Ime have the same agent, and the agent is telling Stephen A., no, it's consensual, you can't go there. You cannot defend somebody. And obviously, if anybody reads me, I defend Black people and protect Black people as much as I possibly can, because if I don't do it, certainly very few other people are going to. But if Ime is doing dirty, Ime is doing dirty. It doesn't matter if, yes, you can have affairs within the office. This went beyond that. I do not think in this current climate, and again, my pessimistic heart and being around professional sports leagues for as long as I have, this man just took them to a surprise Eastern Conference championship. Do you really think that if he was just having a consensual relationship around the office with, you know, Donna in accounting, that they would suspend him for a year? No. They wouldn't. Very speculation. I will put that out there. But from everything we have seen and everything we know, they forced his hand. He did so much that they had to do this. But I do think that these insiders should have to put out there, hey, athlete A or coach A or GM A in this story is part of CAA, and so am I. Because you're basically, in a way, the way I see it, is you're sort of paying your agency for information.
Yeah, AJ, I don't know if you know this, but I could have it handed to me if I'm wrong here. I believe Stephen A. Smith is a WME guy, and he does have some connection with Endeavor and Mark Shapiro, who may have negotiated something. I actually know a ton of these. Stephen A. is just... it's just I haven't really dealt a lot with Stephen A. contractual stuff, and without giving away sourcing, my best source on Stephen A. contractual stuff has never been one of his agents. I'll just leave it at that. So I don't believe he and Udoka share the same agency in this case, but your point, Shalice, is absolutely dead on, because as a viewer, I think I'd want to know if broadcast analyst X, right, or opinionist X is totally preaching for a coach or player, and they're all being rep by the same place. So AJ, I'll leave you with the final word, but I agree. You know, I think Sean Hyken had an excellent tweet out there. Do I expect this to happen? No, not in a million years, unless ESPN, the worldwide leader here, decides to sort of change their disclosure policy. I don't think Fox and Sports will ever do this, or NBC. I feel like ESPN would be the only one who would even have a shot of it, just given their own journalistic bona fides. But I don't know. I thought this was interesting, AJ. I will ask you, AJ, do you have a agent, or are you, or just AJ Perez?
No, I don't know. I have no agent here. But yeah, I think this is great. I mean, as a startup, you know, I've been here 2.5 years. We have investors, and we have, you know, there are stories that SBGA had or that we got at the same time. And, you know, with that deals with one of the companies. It hasn't happened a couple times, but we're actually less likely to do a story that where our investors are investing on a sports related company. We're actually less likely to do it than we would, just because of that conflict. And I'm a personal trainer. When I've taken breaks in journalism and gone back to training, and there was a company who did kind of endorse, give me some free stuff, and I would still mention that, and now the company is now bankrupt. So obviously I'm not the best endorser. So, you know, but even that, you know, even when I get a new pair of shoes, no one's even asking me, no one even cares. But I always say I did not get these free. I mean, I don't take gifts. I, you know, disclose that. I think it's important. And I think editor's notes, you know, when we did do those stories, there's always an editor's note. Like, this so-and-so invested in this company and is also an FOS investor. That we haven't had to do that because we don't trend to those. And especially in my role, I don't really have to worry about that. You know, I'm going after this, mostly going after the Farbs and the Snyders and such, where there's really no, there's not going to be a conflict. I can guarantee that, because part of doing my job is as an investigative enterprise reporter is to not have these conflicts. That means I've disclosed the time I was 18 years old and got in a fight during hockey and I was arrested. I will, you know, there's nothing, you know, that's why, you know, you have to have, the charges were dropped because it was hockey, the prosecutors. So I've been totally clean since, but you have to disclose those things. I mean, that's part of our jobs, and you cannot have any doubt about our credibility at all. And I think, Shalice and you, Richard, I make some great points on that.
Yeah. So the last thing on this just would be, for the listeners who are curious, one, agents, broadcast agents all the time contact reporters and they leak a lot. I'm just going to be blunt. Anybody who's covering the space, you know, John Orans, Andrew Marchand, Mike McCarthy's, et cetera, there's a lot of transactional sourcing that come from agents. They certainly come from executives, particularly competing executives and companies too. But, you know, agents are in the business, obviously, of wanting to get their clients' new job out there, because it generally speaking makes the agents look good. What we're seeing, one thing that's really, really changed, particularly with Woj and Shams, right? We're now starting to see the agents who negotiate these deals in the tweets. We used to not see that. Two, Liz Mullen of Sports Business Journal does a great job covering agents and covering the people who represent sports media talent. So she really would be on top, and she would absolutely know who's repping everybody. Agents often represent multiple sports TV people. So one of the other interesting wrinkles here is you may have the same two people going for the same job being repped by the same agent. So it could get really, really, really messy. But I may go back to this with you guys. I may have you on again, and we'll do the same panel like 5 months from now and sort of see how we feel about this. But it would, at least publicly, it would change the game if the public, every time a story comes out, if the reporters who share an agency with their subject had to disclose it. Do you know what I'm saying? In many ways, the full disclosure would be great. In other ways, it would absolutely make many people in the public think there's a conspiracy on all this when there might not be a conspiracy at all. You know what I mean, Shalice? Like sometimes you just get the information because you got the information and you weren't sourced by anybody at your agency. But I do think a lot of people in the general public would be like, oh, this guy works for UTA. You know, the coach of this team is UTA. That, of course, this is why he or she got this.
Right.
Info.
I don't know that there is so much information that goes around, all these transactions and stuff like that. But if you're defending somebody and talking about it's a consensual relationship, well, consensual to whom? You know, if.
Right. On this story, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like on this story, that conflict could be really right. important given what we're talking
and
about.
And that's
here.
Where, and we don't see them anymore. But an ombudsman, which you just don't really see them in media outlets anymore, but an ombudsman would be really critical in a situation like this, that you run it past the ombudsman and they say, yes, this is a situation where you need to disclose. Now, if, you know, if it's Schefter or Shams or somebody who's saying, oh, team A is signing player B, okay, fine. You don't necessarily need to, but in a situation where you're terming this relationship as consensual, or, you know, the Schefter thing a few months ago where, and I guess he did eventually say that he's getting this directly from the agent, the running back from Minnesota, Dalvin Cook, you know, that
awful.
Whole thing, you need to, the public should know, you know, this, it goes back to, you know, what we were talking about before, and will these broadcasts actually be honest about what's going on with teams and executives and stuff like that? People aren't stupid. And part of the reason that we are in the position we're in as a country right now is because people are treated as though they're stupid and they're not asked to think critically. You can tell people that Deshaun Watson was credibly accused by 24 women of sexual misconduct. They'll be okay. Process the information and move on. Believe it, don't believe it, think it's a conspiracy that a whole bunch of strangers got together to accuse this one guy of all the guys in the NFL, fine. But do the information. And if we stop giving people facts and information, they're going to stop looking for facts and information, and they're just going to take what's given to them. And that's when we get into a whole situation, you know, kind of like what we're in now.
And this brings us all down. This whole, you know, what people question other reporters and the heirs, and, you know, going back to Jason Blair and even USA Today, before I got there, a foreign correspondent made up a lot of stuff. Where to in 2006, when I got there, I couldn't even use an anonymous source. I couldn't even it was like two sources, two great sources that are vetted. I still couldn't run those. So now when I write a story like I did Monday on Tua's concussion and questioning, like, maybe we should just kind of hold on and wait till the NFLPA and NFL, the joint investigation, and Tua is still cleared to play, at least as far as he's not in the concussion protocol for the next game. But it's like people question me like, oh, you got this from the NFL. I'm like, no, I didn't. No one from the NFL is calling me AJ Perez saying, yeah, I was like, yeah, Tua's fine. Yeah, like you should do some PR for us. It doesn't happen. But the fact that others may be getting the information from, you know, agents and other stuff that, you know, that we don't know their sourcing, you know, that it does blow back. There is blowback for the rest of us in the sports journalism world.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Oh, Shalice, you and your quaint ideas about ombudsman and journalism. Come on now.
You know, it's funny. I've taught for a few years at Emerson College here in Boston. And, you know, this is no shade on Syracuse, which is where I got my degree from. But teaching journalism to young journalists, I feel like, has made me a better journalist and really gotten me back to the nuts and bolts of, this is what we are supposed to be doing. You know, we're supposed to
keep your enthusiasm up too, right?
Half the time I want to tell them don't do it, but it's, it's hard. It really is. It's very hard. You know, it's part of the reason among many that I said, I hate that this insider culture is, you know, these kids, we sit there and tell them, you know, if you want to get into journalism, don't expect to get rich. And between Woj and Schefter, they make what, $15 million a year to just regurgitate text messages and not giving people context
and when they're required to, like Schefter's got into trouble. And we saw that with the death of Dwayne Haskins. I mean, look what he did there. It's like there's like the lack of them not. They're both great journalists. I'm not saying they aren't now, but in their roles now, they're not, they don't have to do what we have to do for our stories.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, both have done really fine journalism in the past. What their roles are now are sort of very different than what they traditionally do. And again, all the criticism that you guys have mentioned is absolutely warranted. Yahoo Sports NFL writer Shalice Manzi Young. Follow her work on that site. Follow her on Twitter. She's always providing, at least to me, just something interesting, makes me think, and a unique voice in the space. AJ Perez is a front office sports senior reporter, And again, AJ, his beat is like, his beat seems to be the globe, because like one day he might be covering X and then the next day he's covering Y. But again, one of the people at that publication that has really made Front Office Sports just a place where a lot of people now go to check out content every day. I'll definitely have you guys back. Shalice and AJ, thank you so much for joining me today on the Sports Media Podcast.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks.
All right, back in the studio, my thanks to Shalice and AJ for their time and insights. I thought it was pretty good, spirited conversation, good back and forth between those two. And I'm not sure they have ever met in person, so they had pretty good chemistry, actually, for two people who had never met before. If you like these kind of conversations, please leave us a five-star review and a nice note. That's how this podcast continues. You leave a five-star review and a nice note in your Twitter handle, I'm happy to mention it on air, and we'll read those comments for sure. Yeah, if you're going to rip me, unlikely for me to read that, to be honest. But again, the reviews for this podcast have been really, really good over the years, and I don't take that for granted. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Previous podcast before this one, earlier this week, we had Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network and Lisa McCaffrey, who is not only an accomplished Stanford athlete herself, but the mother of four adult sons who have prominence in football, most notably Christian McCaffrey, who plays for the Panthers. They have a new podcast on the most notable moms on the planet. They interview mothers about their journey and about their children, and early guests have been Ryan Leaf's mom and Jake Plummer's mom, so check that out. Andrew Marinus, the author of Inaugural Ballers, true story of the 1976 U.S. women's basketball team. That was a very important team with Pat Summitt, Ann Myers, Nancy Lieberman, etc. Prior to that, I mentioned Anna Wolf was a guest on this podcast, investigative reporter from Mississippi Today, talking about that scandal and Brett Favre's involvement there. Thursday Night Football on Prime Video, executive producer Fred Gadelli and Pierre Moussa on Amazon's production when it comes to their game coverage. Sports broadcaster turned agent Alex Flanagan. I think you'll enjoy that conversation. And Jenny Brentis and Lindsay Jones of the New York Times and The Ringer, respectively, on covering the NFL, and particularly covering the tough stories in the NFL. Before that, Fox Sports NFL producer Richie Zients and Fox Sports NFL director Rich Russo. They are the producer and director of the Greg Olson, Kevin Burkhart team. And they took listeners inside on how they do their jobs and what it's like to be a producer and director of a top NFL. So again, there should be some things in the archives that you'll enjoy. Most of the stuff, generally speaking, stays evergreen outside of, obviously, the media conversations that are usually based off what is going on at the time. Want to thank Patrick Antonetti, of course. Want to thank everybody at Kane 13, and thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.